In Isaiah chapter 28, and the lesson is we're going to look in at a passage or two that we did last time, and the title of this is going to be The Bed Too Short, Part 2. In Isaiah chapter 28, the prophet is speaking. God is speaking through the prophet to Israel and some of the ones there that have been in charge and teaching and not teaching. Once again, Israel has shown their humanity and their fallen nature by man. And as it speaks to those that were teaching there and those people in Israel, it speaks to all. It does not just speak to those people, those Jews that were, you know, shake your finger at them and they should have known better, but to all of God's people and all of people in the world, what nature is like and what man tends to do by nature and will do and what God does for his people. And as Norm and I were visiting this morning, and I'm convinced that here, there's some bad things that show up here, but God didn't take time with those that he did not set his affection on. There's warning to all, but the admonitions and the correction and those things come about to God's people. And that's, if it was not a message to it, and it's all the scripture is for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ to his people, and what we are like and what God has done for and does for his people. So I'd like to read a few verses here and I hope condense it down to one lesson this morning. We'll see. But in chapter 28 of Isaiah, starting with verse 15, and I'd like to read down just a bit. Actually, verse 14 we'll start with, and it says, Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also I will lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant will be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall ye be trodden down by it. For the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, day by day and night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, and he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your hands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the flitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and both doth teach him. For the flitches are not threshed in a threshing instrument, neither is a cart wheel turned about upon the cumin, but the cumin with a rod. Bread, corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel, excellent in working. Now, this, what we titled or mentioned several times in the last lesson and this one is the bed is too short. And that verse there in verse 20, where it said, the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrow than he can wrap himself in it. And it's a picture of what has gone on. And up here in... we're going to start with, look again back in verse 15. And they've said by their doings and by their nature and by their actions, and natural man does it, we've made a covenant with death and hell we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass, it shall not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Now they didn't say in literal words to God that this is what they have done, but by nature... man is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. His heart cannot be this. His heart is dead spiritually, but by nature this was from the beginning. This was what it was. By nature, natural man's in agreement with death and hell, and as it says, we've made lies our refuge, and when the bad time comes and the end comes, My good will outweigh my bad, or whatever the argument may be, it's not going to bother me. It's not going to be there. And natural man can tell himself that all he wants to. It's coming. And God promises the scourge, the end time will come. And here it says that's what it made falsehood our hiding places, not God's word or God's truth. But... therefore, it says in verse 16, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. In contrast, there is the foundation that is laid. And here, again, as I was visiting with Norman this morning, there's 5 points in this verse alone that could make quite a combination of lessons, messages, thoughts, whatever. Here it says a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. We're going to see, we know, but we're going to see in several places that what that stone, that foundation is, or who that stone, it's our Lord himself, is that foundation. And then in verse 17, it says, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. The standard is the Lord himself. He's that sure foundation and that plummet. He's both level this way and vertically plumb, and anything that doesn't match that has got a problem. And that's, he says, when I lay this to the measurement, and the refuge of lies and the covenant with hell and death is not going to cut it. It just will not. That's not a safe place to be. This foundation is a safe place to be. And if we measure up to this, by nature we say what we have made an agreement with, that's not going to cut it. And when the scourge comes, as it says, it's going to take care of all what you think you're going to hide in is not going to be a hiding place. And if you're not on this foundation, by nature, we're not. Well, I'd rather have the foundation. This, a little bit back into this, and several times over in Israel, God had blessed them and done some wonderful things for them, put them in some pretty good places, and what they physically had, blessings they had, and it points out, they used that for an occasion to just sin more. They didn't say, well, God has been good to us, so, wow, this is what we're going to do. By nature, that can't be. Natural man has not got an affinity to go towards God and to say, well, yeah, that's good stuff. We better do that. By nature, it's used as an occasion to sin more. And sure foundation, and it says in verse 18, that your covenant with death shall be disannulled. It's not going to, You may think you have a good standing, but it's not going to make it. It's just not going to. And only this sure foundation can be the one. And that's where it gets down when it says, when the scourge shall pass through, you shall be trodden down. It's just going to, you're just going to be trodden down. And then it says in verse 20, the bed's shorter than you can, the bed's too short and the cover's too small. And we all know what that picture, physical situation, not spiritually, we've been there. The bed's too short and the cover's too small. And we're going to look at here, and I'm going to make comment a little bit on the end here. It speaks about that God's the husbandman. We are his husbandry. The last several verses talking about the one plowing and the sowing and taking care of and doing those things. God takes care of his people. That's what he does. If he doesn't take care of his people, they don't get taken care of. And he's the one that turns them and to them. And the one and how this takes place, that we end up on this foundation, is like the verse in Zechariah. It's exactly the same as first chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah says, not by might or power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's how things get done spiritually, is by, if God doesn't do it, and his power and his spirit doesn't do it, it doesn't get done. We don't have it in us. I've looked at several places right now. We've looked at before in Ezekiel and Isaiah that start out talking about the condition of man. He's in bad shape, naturally speaking. In fact, I want to read just a little bit. Turn to Ezekiel. Chapter 16, and this talks about in several verses that we're familiar with what condition man is like, as it were, when God looks on him. And I'd like to read first five verses to start with. It says, Ezekiel 16. And the word of the Lord came unto me. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God of unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as far as thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things to thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. A physical picture here of what we are like by nature spiritually. It's a pitiful sight, and there's nothing commendable about it, and nothing good about it, and nothing hopeful about that situation. And verse 6, it says, And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And we're going to go on in that, but if it was not for God in that condition, we would be in that. We would have died in the field, as it were, there. And God taking pity on a people that he has from in the true covenant, the everlasting covenant, the one that does stand, have a people. And those he has an eye on, has always had an eye on. And by nature, this is an apt picture of what we were like. There's another passage that talks about being full of sores from the top of the head to the sole of the foot, and nothing in between that's any better. And by nature, that's a picture of what man is like spiritually. And if God does not intervene, that's what we are, and that's where we are. what God did for the church in Israel, the picture of what man does and what God, what man is and what God does by, but by nature does not man seek after God. Picture of the prodigal son or several other things would be, work in here. I would like to look at several places here, that, starting with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it speaks to the foundation. And those things that God causes to be done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 6, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. And obviously it's not a religious and how far you've gone in religion. It's, as it says, that foundation is the Lord himself, Lord Jesus Christ. The same foundation that over in Isaiah said, I laid the foundation. Same foundation. Not a different picture or a different person. And it says in verse 11, no other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And anything we look at in the scripture, it has to lay that foundation or be built on that foundation, or it's not. It's like the passage there in Isaiah that we've been looking at. It's built on lies. It's built on no firm foundation. You show the foundation to those things, and they are out of whack. They're not even close. They're not even in the ball game. That it has to be perfect. And the only perfect foundation that there is, as it says, is Christ himself. Excuse me. In 1 Peter, and I'm skipping a couple of spots, we're going to come back a couple of points, but I really like this one in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And it's not something that has to be stretched or looked for. It's very plain what he's speaking to, and it's like there that we've seen in Zechariah and some of the other places. And he says, do you know what this is? And he says, no, you've got to tell me what it is. And the Lord does. But here in 2 Peter, let me get in the right book. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 1 and reading down a ways. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And an apt description of where we have been and where we have, are by his power and his doing. A couple of things. Not only does it speak about the stone and the foundation, it speaks and clearly says Jesus Christ is that stone and is that foundation. It can't be construed as church teachings and church doctrine and church points that we lay out. It has to be that same foundation that it says no other man can lay. And that's the only foundation we have. And if there's any other, it's a false foundation. If it's mixed with anything else, it's a false foundation. As God said that righteousness is a measurement, not anything else, and only by God's power can this come about. Does this come about? In Romans chapter 5, in Romans. Chapter 5 in Romans. And I go to my old Bible. I had to replace it. It was coming apart. But I use it because I have a lot of notes scribbled in the edges and things that I like. But it's so underlined that you almost can't read it anymore. I started underlining important passages. Well, pretty soon most of the book of Romans is underlined. But anyhow, Romans chapter 5. It says, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there's no law. Oh, yeah, okay. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if one by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And here, for if one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So not only is he the foundation, but he is the one that provides the righteousness, provides us. In him, that line is perfectly aligned with us in him. We're not, if we are his, we are on both flat and plumb. The righteousness and the measurement, we point to the foundation. We're on his righteousness. It's not Jesus and us and we'll get the job done. It's all in him. We stand in him. We stand in that foundation. We And as it said, we're lively stones that are built on that foundation, but that's the foundation it has to be built on, and he's the one that builds that house. We're not the ones that place ourselves there. A couple of spots in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts. In chapter 3 of Acts. And starting with verse 18. Verse 18, Acts chapter 3. It says, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, so hath he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be ye converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Here it shows again that where we stand, how we stand, what the prophets have always brought forth, what they've always preached and brought forth, the same thing. And a phrase that's come up in many of the lessons lately from our pastor is repetition. And there's no new thing. And one of the Ecclesiastes, I think it says, there's no new thing under the sun. Well, in many ways, there's no new thing under the sun. And especially in the foundation that has been laid by the prophets, there is no new thing under the sun. If there is, if that foundation gets brought into question, which it has been and still is, by those in pulpits, has he, the same life from the beginning, has he really said this? Does it really have to be that straight to the line? And any time there's a doubt brought in about the foundation, about our Lord Jesus Christ, and who he is and what he has done for his people, there's a problem. And it's going to be like the bed too short again. In the end, it will not hold up. It has to be. Perfect is the mark, and there's no substitute for that. And as it says here, that foundation was been laid from all the prophets said the same thing. There was different pictures of it, and brought out in many different ways, but the same thing brought out in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10. Starting with Acts 10 chapter or verse 36. Let's start with verse 34. Acts 10, starting with verse 34. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even unto us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him, verse 43, give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Here again, Peter saying, this is not new. You've been told by the prophets, and now he is here. This is the one that is the foundation. This is the one. And as it says here in verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sin. And this comes on not far on the heels of before that, of the Jews questioning his parentage of our Lord himself, because they say, who are you? And this is the one that the prophets were speaking of. This is him. And God testifying that this is the one. This is the true one, the Savior of his people, and that God raised up. And it says that he was the anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and God was with him. And as we know, he's actually God himself. And then one more spot, and we're going to wrap this up for this morning. In Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. You probably know where I'm headed, probably. In Luke chapter 24, down towards the end, it says we know the account of the two on the road to Emmaus and that what followed, and he met with the rest of them, and the Lord did and ate with them. And then verse 44 of Luke 24, it says, and he said unto them, the Lord, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And here, above here, it says, and it goes on, that it has been fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. In that, before every lesson, message, and thought almost can come to mind or should come to mind, that if he doesn't open the understanding, none of this means anything. It only means that if God opens the understanding to what we are by nature, what we tend to and what we can only do, and that God has the first firm foundation and places us on that firm foundation. And if we're on that foundation, that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, we are on a good spot. And we can't be in a better spot. And that's the message that Isaiah was brought to those people. And I dare say there were some of those that agreed with him and went their way. And there were some of those that understood what he was talking about. And the Lord opened their eyes to understand that thing. So at this time, be free. Thank you.